broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendrick.
It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And welcome back to our program. We did let Ms. Dooley go because she was suffering from a little bit of a cold, which generally happens when...
When you're suffering from a cold.
Yes, when I'm suffering. You shut up. When the air dries out, and the air is drying out, man, as we speak. Actually, no, in all seriousness, we've got... it's allergy season in many parts of the country, believe it or not. And of course, this extends all the way through the spring. Here in the Southwest, we get all kinds of dry air this time of year. We got some winds blowing. We're going to get some rain next month. We're going to get, I mean, man, it gets really weird around here. And I think I've seen people really suffering with this. So we let them go. We do have this hour a follow-up for you on the whole Susan G. Komen Planned Parenthood thing. Well, you know, this is like part three of this because it's been a very interesting. We were out in front of this the other night. I guess it was maybe Wednesday or Tuesday night when we were talking about it. And at that time, the word was that Susan G. Komen, the foundation, had stopped their funding of Planned Parenthood because of a possible subcommittee hearing on their adherence to federal guidelines. Now, that's different from saying they're being investigated for crimes. It was a subcommittee hearing chaired by a Florida Republican congressman who is an anti-abortion, or if you will, pro-life congressman. Then the next day, the word came from Nancy Brinker, who said, oh, no, we've just are beginning to reassess who we want to give our money to and who we don't. No, it's got nothing to do with that, right? So that was reason number two. And then finally today, the word came down that Susan G. Komen had reversed themselves and are going to resume funding Planned Parenthood. And the statement from Susan G. Komen was as follows. We simply don't want to fund organizations that may be under criminal investigation or have been convicted of some criminal misdeed. So that is not the case with Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood and even the Susan G. Komen Foundation said it. They said, we are not going to stop funding organizations simply because they're under the microscope of a political investigation. And that's exactly what this thing is and was. On the line with us from the University of Washington in Seattle is Don Mixa. Don is a professor of engineering up there and has joined us to talk as a contributor on the Phil Henry Show for liberal progressive causes as well as issues relative to the Democratic Party. Don, how are you this evening?
Well, Phil, I'm doing well, and thank you for having me on the program.
Don, the Susan G. Komen Foundation, as I mentioned, reversed themselves and said, we're now going to give that money to Planned Parenthood, and we're now going to say, no, it's got nothing to do with their funding of abortions. This is simply us saying we don't want to give money to anybody that's under criminal investigation.
Well, you know, look, Phil, you can put it any way you want to. The bottom line is the Susan G. Komen Foundation was found with their hand in the cookie jar. I think they got caught... I think they got caught being a little too political. I think they have members on that board. You mentioned one of these gentlemen the other day. I think his name is Raffelli. It's an Italian name, I think. And Raffelli, he's a Komen board member. He suggested in an interview that the foundation had been unprepared for a firestorm caused by the decision to halt the grants. He said that it was about the... anti-abortion movement, and they didn't want to give money to Planned Parenthood. And then they came out, and Susan G. Komen said, no, it isn't. So I think they got caught with their hand in the cookie jar. I think they got caught looking pretty stupid, and they had to reverse it.
Now, there was a firestorm. You're speaking to Mr. Raffelli. He said that there was a firestorm, in your words, of criticism from people who have traditionally supported Planned Parenthood themselves. And they were asking the question, why is the Susan G. Komen Foundation, why are they getting political?
Well, I think they got political because they got a lot of money, and they've got the, they have, you know, or they've lent their ear to, I should say, the anti-abortion movement in Congress. I don't know, really, why they did what they did. It was a bad decision. It it could have been a disaster. I have personally known many people, many women who have benefited from Planned Parenthood. Yes, they do provide abortion counseling, and yes, they do provide the medical procedure for terminating pregnancy. It's not all that they do. And when the Susan G. Komen Foundation decided they would suspend the grant money...
Now, let me just jump in here. When they stopped giving the grant money, there was an outpouring of donation to Planned Parenthood that I think was around $650,000, and all last year, Susan G. Komen gave to Planned Parenthood's, what, $680,000?
Oh, yeah. No, they made up for it. There's no question about it.
Yeah, so in one day, they made up for whatever this shortfall was going to be.
Is my point. That's really not the point whether they're going to make up for the money or not. The point that I'm making and the point that a lot of us were making when we heard about this is just the out-and-out, I think, betrayal that the Susan G. Komen Foundation, the betrayal that they created here on Planned Parenthood to suddenly say, we're not giving you this money. And they have been giving the money. Who did they think they were, and who are they listening to, and who is feeding them with what and in what ear? And we come to find out it's this guy in Florida, this anti-abortion congressman. This guy started a firestorm when he started this investigation, and a lot of us got on the phone and said, look, we don't know who you're in bed with, and we don't know why, but you're going to resume money to Planned Parenthood, and you're going to do it as soon as you hear the click of this phone hanging up. Now, that's not an if, that's not a maybe, that's a now, and that's a gonna.
And what will you say, some of us?
I got on the phone and a few people that I know, and we just contacted people that we know. I don't want to give any names.
Are they people that work with the foundation?
Let's say they're friends, and they have communication, and they have contacts within the Susan G. Komen organization. And I got on the line. I said, it's Don Bixom. You know what I'm representing an alliance of faculty and students, and you know how we feel about Planned Parenthood, and you know personally how I feel about Planned Parenthood. I thank God that two young ladies that I know were able to avail themselves of those services. It not only saved them a lifetime of unbelievable hardship, but it also saved me as well. Having to change my life and support two families. And so this is something, Phil, that reaches beyond just the woman.
And so what you called up somebody and said what?
I simply said to them what I told you. I said, look, I don't care why the decision was made. I've got a suspicion it was made because of this guy in Florida with his anti-abortion this and anti-abortion that. He can do whatever he wants to do. That's fine. It's a free country. But I said, what you're going to do, and... well, can we talk? I said, no, you're not going to talk about anything. I said, I'm not having a discussion. Now, you are going to go to the board, and you're going to tell them what I told you, which is that $650,000 is going to go back into the coffers at Planned Parenthood, and you're going to make an announcement saying, we never did mean to cut it off. We're sorry. We messed up. Whatever you got to do to make this thing right. I said, you're going to do it. You're going to do it now, because it was dinner time. And I told him, he said, well, I got to go get dinner. I said, you're not going to get any dinner. I said, you're not going to see your children. You're not going to see your wife. You're not even going to, I don't want to be facetious, so I told him, you're not even going to the bathroom. You're going to get on the phone or go over there physically, even if you have to walk, even if you have to hitchhike, and tell these people what's going to happen.
So are you telling me then that there was it sounds to me like there was a focused and direct and pointed response from supporters of Planned Parenthood to Susan G. Komen.
It was very focused, Phil. It was very, very much a nose-to-nose.
Well, I mean, that's what I was going to say. Some kind of a nose-to-nose thing with Susan G. Komen saying, look, you people better this or that or what? I mean, what was the leverage you had? What was the quid pro quo? I mean, what were you saying was going to happen? I mean, not a quid pro quo, but what was the threat?
Well, and the threat is this. There's a lot of us who have benefited from the services of Planned Parenthood. I'm a man, but men indirectly benefit when there is an emergency. And when a woman that you know, a woman that you love, a woman that you did love, it can be a lot of things, is pregnant, and you've got to... you've got to somehow deal with that. And I said to them, are you trying to tell me that you're trying to shut that down? Because I wouldn't have a life today. And I was very direct. I said, I would not have a life today if it wasn't for Planned Parenthood. And you're telling me you're going to shut that down. No, you're not. Now, you better. And I think, Phil, it was just a matter of being very direct and telling them.
But there wasn't any. You didn't say, if you don't, this and that will happen.
Well, I think they knew that if they didn't, there would not be, there wouldn't be a talk show, a newspaper, a blog that I would not go on and spread as much bad will, and I'll just say it, filth.
Well, are you telling me you were going to attempt to slander Susan G. Komen?
No, I would never do that, but I would come up with the most gruesome things that I could think of from my experience. I don't know what they would be.
Truthful things?
They would have to be truthful, but I would look and see what truthful, gruesome, hideous things I could write about Susan G. Komen. I would do it.
So you really wanted to hurt them. If they did not keep that funding connected to Planned Parenthood, you wanted to hurt them.
Just the way they wanted to hurt millions of American women and a lot of men like myself that, thank God, had them to turn to when I had, as I've said to you, Phil, the problems that I had with Cassie and Rebecca, who were two of my students, and unfortunate situations like that.
All right, we're going to be back here with Don Mix. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. So Don Mixup was on the phone yesterday with a lot of other people, and they were talking to Susan G. Komen, and they were the Susan G. Komen Foundation. Susan G. Komen, by the way, was the sister of Nancy Brinker, who's the founder. Susan was her sister, who died of breast cancer. And they were saying, in no uncertain terms, you better turn that spigot of cash back on. Turn it on now, and don't even think about cutting off that funding. What do you think about that? The money is back. The Susan G. Komen Foundation is now funding Planned Parenthood again. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We'll be right back in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I mean, I told him, I said, you don't piss me off.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And we got Don Mixa on the line with us here from Seattle, Washington tonight. He's a professor of engineering at the University of Washington, and we're talking about the Susan G. Komen Foundation's decision to sort of reverse itself and give money to Planned Parenthood after they had said they would suspend those payments. And there were all kinds of different reasons given, Don. The first one was that they did not want to give money to a group that was under investigation, federal guidelines. The second reason was, well, they don't want to give money to any group that has this connection to abortion. And then the third one here we heard yesterday was, yes, we will.
Well, and I think, Phil, that they were fully intending on going with the first two reasons that you mentioned. I think that they had this guy, Raffelli. I don't know who he is or what he is. Excuse me for saying that. I don't mean any disrespect, but I you know, this guy, John D. Raffelli, every time I read his name in a newspaper, I said to Bob Clyde, and I said to Tucker Wheeler, I said, this is the problem right here, this guy Raffelli. And they said, well, who are you talking about? I said, this guy who I've seen this guy quoted twice now, and I said, that's two times too many for me. And I think when I say something like that, I know that both Bob Clyde and Tucker, they know what I'm talking about. And when I said I've seen his name two times, and that's two times too many for me, both of them put their pens down on their desks, got up, left the office, and I knew where they were going.
Where were they going?
Well, they were going over to our phone bank, and they were going to kick everybody in the rear end and tell them, okay, the word came down, Don wants us to get that money back. So I would tell you that that's what happened, and I think when Susan G. Komen got the word that this is unacceptable UNACCEPTABLE. And I said to them, I said, spell it out for them. And they said, you're kidding. I said, no. I said, I mean, spell it out. Tell them it's unacceptable. As you say, Phil, the spigot of cash was turned back on.
877-876-PHIL. That's amazing. You know, even in the world of charity funding and in the world of charity fundraising, this kind of direct talk is it's quite interesting. Here is Jay on the Phil Hendry Show. Jay, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, I disagree with that gentleman, and you know, and respectfully, but I got two kids, and my first wife, when I was 23 years old, she got pregnant by me, and I lived in South Florida, and I moved to Chicago, and I raised that girl, and I got a son by the same woman, and she's 28 years old, and my son's 26 years old. And I think if I would have said, like most men, how do I know it's mine? For one, because she was a tourist girl, and I just met her, and we fell in love, you know. And I moved to Chicago from South Florida and married her, and I raised them kids. And I think that it's a rotten shame that. That situation happened today. I think it was politically motivated. I think that the Obama administration is, it's a communist organization that's infiltrated the United States. So, and I think that this gentleman that's talking right there, for one thing, he needs
to clear
his throat.
You very funny.
Throat, man. But all I'm saying is,
if you want to get personal, I could probably say some things about you. Maybe you want to scrub the bacon strips out of your underwear, you know.
All right. Why do we talk like this?
Well, this gentleman is insulting me.
I think he said you need to clear your throat.
You're insulting me because I'll tell you.
I didn't say anything to you.
You love that woman and you were glad that she killed your kid. I married the woman that was the mother.
Well, I tell you what, it's a good question, Jay. Too. Hey, Jay, it's Phil. It's a good question. Don, do you want to comment on that?
Look, we're all different in this world. Jay's life is different from mine. He sounds as if I'm a professor at a major university. I had at the time, unfortunately, made two of my students pregnant. I loved both of them very much. But I could not. What am I? Am I going to start a family with one and not with the other? I had to insist that both women terminate the pregnancies.
All right, but now,
Jay, if you had my life, you'd understand that. But you don't have my life. You have a life where, you know, your wife tells you, "Oh, it's your kid," and you believe her. Which, okay, you know, and you call me weird.
Well, what are you saying?
No. Wait.
Well, I mean,
hold up,
you know, I mean,
up,
the guy's like. Well,
all right, you're a professor, okay? That what we're saying because
no,
you got a
no,
got
it doesn't
a
mean
PhD,
that at all, sir.
You got a PhD, and I'm something special.
No, sir, I have been. If you don't like the fact that I had two girlfriends, that's
children. I chose not to kill my children. You chose to kill your children, so that
no,
makes you a
I
murderer.
Did not.
God bless you.
No, I didn't kill my children. I killed something that looked like shrimp cocktail. If you want to be honest.
Well, okay. You know what? Conception.
Oh my God!
Hey, come on.
It
life
does.
Starts at conception, man. So blow it off.
Wait,
man. Okay,
well,
Mr. Professor.
Says who? Says
all
who?
Right, Mr.
Says
professor, who? Give me a break,
look,
man.
You
know,
you said to me that I needed to clear my throat. You said to me that
nothing.
I needed to
and
clear.
And how old are you? How old are you? I just am curious. What's your age?
48.
I'm 52. And I've been around the block, and I know who lives on the block. And just,
well, I mean, you resent the fact that I have girlfriends. That's your problem.
No, I don't have a problem with that, man. I'm a journeyman carpenter. I'm an electrician. I'm a plumber, and I'm HVAC certified. And I wear many hats. And I work with my hands.
Well, all of that doesn't make you Hugh Hefner, though,
you
know.
Your mind, and you know what? Most of the professors, it should be ashamed of themselves because what they teach in the schools is ridiculous because they don't...
Well, can I tell you something?
No. who the damn...
Most of you guys ought to be ashamed of yourselves, because you ought to see some of the wiring that has gone into some of the houses I've owned by you clowns, so...
Let's not call each other clown.
Well, I wouldn't doubt this guy wired the house. And I tell you, I really got to get the, and the plumbing. God almighty, you got to take a stink to the plumbing that these guys put in there. Chief, you say you're using copper, would you please use copper? You
know? All right, hold on. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. Wow. World famous Phil Henry Show. Susan G. Komen has given the money back to Planned Parenthood, and Don says they just Phil told him to.
Leave it.
This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Don Mixa joining us from Seattle as we talk about Susan G. Komen, the Susan G. Komen Foundation, reversing themselves and continuing the funding of Planned Parenthood. And this not 48 hours after they said that they would stop, that they were not going to fund Planned Parenthood because of this congressional investigation into their adherence to federal guidelines. The foundation said, well, you know, that's not a criminal investigation. We didn't want it to sound like it was, and we're not going to suspend the money. And Don, you have said you and others that support Planned Parenthood have been on the phone encouraging Susan G. Komen and the people that represent them to keep this money going. You talked about...
Absolutely. And I just wanted to say one other thing. I wanted to thank Todd Baring and some of the other people that I was talking to at the Susan G. Komen Foundation for getting it done so quickly. I mean, I told them it was urgent. I said, look, I don't know what you guys have planned for the weekend or if you have anything planned. A lot of people watch the Super Bowl. That's great. I'm not a football fan myself, but I said, I don't know what you people think you're going to do, but you're not doing anything until you get this done. And I made it very clear.
Now, you don't have any authority at Susan G. Komen other than the fact that you're just well-connected.
I don't have any authority anywhere other than the fact that I know what I'm doing. I know what I want, and I know what my constituents want. I want the people that my people and what we believe in. I represent my people. I lead my people. And what we believe in and what we want, other people can do what they want. Other tribes, as we like to call them now. I don't know if you use that term, Phil, but that term has come back into usage. My tribe. You know what I mean about the have a tribe?
Yeah, I've heard that. I mean, it's not literal. It's like...
Well, it is to an extent. I have my tribe, and I am the, if you will, the chief of the tribe. And my people expect that the Planned Parenthood is going to keep money on hand to allow women to go in, abort a fetus. And I say it without, I say that a lot of people shy away from that. I say it. When Cassie and Ellen went in and aborted two fetuses that were mine, I was sad, but I was relieved, and they were too, because it would have impacted their lives. It would have taken my life and sent it into a tailspin, to be perfectly honest with you.
But, I mean, the fact that those were your children, like the guy said...
Hold on for a minute. Are you pro-choice?
Yes, I am. I wondered...
All right. Well, then please don't talk like... You're starting to talk like one of those lifers. And I assumed I was on a radio show that was sympathetic. And
I do. Yes, I am pro-choice. I'm just telling you that... when you talk about aborting these two fetuses like Cassie and Ellen, these are two girls that you were seeing at the same time. They were students.
Well, I should not have brought it up because you're starting to use that as a little bit of a wedge against me and my morality, Phil. And
No. I want to know what goes into the thinking, you know.
Here's what went into the thinking. I have a book tour coming up. My book is coming out. My life is beginning to fall together for the first time since my divorce, and there's an awful lot of good things there's an awful lot of good things on the plate for Don Mixa. Don Mixa's, if you want to call it my ship, Don Mixa's ship is about to come in, and not only is my ship coming in, but it's a luxury liner, all right? And so if you think for one minute that I'm going to allow two women who love me, and I love them, but they did love me more. To have these two children, this immediately puts an end to the book tour. That's over. You can forget that. And God forgive me if my life was negatively impacted by those two children being born to the point where the book tour is dead and the book is dead. I mean, what if I, and I say, God forgive me, Phil, because I don't think I would ever do this, but what if I lost it and I beat both of those children to death?
Or, oh, my God. What a thing to say.
Phil, I'm asking you, who is going to go to Susan G. Komen and say to them, Don Mixa just beat his two kids to death because you wouldn't fund Planned Parenthood, okay?
That's a horrifying thing to even allow yourself to think. If I had two kids that I didn't want, or if you want to put it that way, or if were not convenient, or whatever, man, I mean, I'm just, you know, that's the story, baby, and that's what you got to live with. And I, God forbid that that would ever happen, but if that did, obviously you are not capable of living in the world with normal human beings. And
well, I think what you're doing is you're judging me. That's exactly what Susan G. Komen wants you to do, to judge me. And I'm asking you, Phil, I'm not saying that I wouldn't be culpable. I'm not saying that at all, but I'm asking you, where does Susan G. Komen, when did they step up to the plate and say, all right, we're also here. We need to get tied to a post and beaten, too, because of what we did to Mixa that caused him to beat those two children to death and hide their bodies, I don't know, you know, in a closet or behind behind some garbage cans or whatever I would do.
And Don, are you listening to what you're saying?
I beg your pardon?
Are you listening to what you're saying? Do you hear what you're saying?
Yes, I am hearing it, Phil.
Well, you're saying things that have nothing to do now with the politics of this or even the morality or the legality. You're talking crazy. You're talking about killing.
I am, if you will listen to me, please.
I'm listening to you. You said that if Planned Parenthood wasn't around and those two children were born because you couldn't, the two girls couldn't have abortions. I don't know why they couldn't. They could go to a doctor. And
they couldn't afford it. I can't. They couldn't afford it.
They couldn't afford it, meaning you're not going to pay for it. All right, let me get a phone call up here. 877-876-PHIL. I just find the way that you phrase this moral dilemma very strange. Lou, you're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Don Mixa. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. Well, I mean,
good morning, sir.
The gentleman's entitled to speak the way he wants. I don't necessarily agree with his way of expressing, but that's his way. I think I will commend him for standing up. I think it's, you know, there is truly a silent majority in America that's basically tired of conservatives trying to impart their way of thinking upon all of us. The
Absolutely.
Gentleman they called in, for example, if you don't want to have an abortion and you had your two children, then good for you. But anyone who wants to have one, they should be entitled to do that. That is between them, their doctor, their conscience, and their God. Period.
Absolutely.
Nobody has
Absolutely.
The right to impart their quote-unquote. And I'm tired of conservatives with their hypocrisy. You've got William Bennett wagging his finger in our face about morality. It turns out he's a gambleholic. You've got Palin talking about family values, and she's got a minor daughter who's impregnated under her roof. You've got
Gingrich
talking about family values, and the woman he's married to right now was a page while he was impeaching Clinton. He was not with that girl who's not his wife. So enough of it. You live your life, your consequences of your actions, but don't try to impart your views upon all of us. And it's been a good week.
And I think also, Lou, I was going to say, Lou, that Phil, in his judgment, his rusted judgment of me, I'm saying, if those two children are born and my life comes to a point where I beat them to death, who goes to Susan G. Komen and says, you're the ones that cut off funding to Planned Parenthood? But Phil won't allow. Yeah, thank you.
Are you honestly trying to tell me?
Pardon me.
I want to ask Don. Are you trying to tell me that if you beat two children to death, you'd immediately ask, "Hey, if Planned Parenthood had been here, this wouldn't have happened"?
I think it's a fair question to ask.
Oh, come on, man! Come on.
Excuse me, Lou. This is what I'm dealing with. We got a lot of these fake liberals. We got a lot of fake liberals like Mr. Henry.
Beating any children to death, but I am an advocate of people being able to make their own decisions without being judged.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Enough
exactly.
I'm tired of
that is my point exactly.
Hypocrisy. And it's
grandstanding.
You know, there are a lot of kids out here who are unwanted, unloved. They turn out to be criminals. They turn out to have miserable lives. And where the Republican conservatives of those kids? They're bad.
Well, that's a very good point.
You've got services supporting these kids.
Well, see, that is my point, too. And that's what I was telling Phil. I said, look, Phil, you can let these children live. Just as Lou has said, they turn into criminals. I think you remember the Christmas Carol written by Charles Dickens when the ghost of Christmas present reveals the two children. He says, this is poverty and this is ignorance. And the worst of these is ignorance, because that's the child that grows up to become the criminal. If I beat that kid to death, what would you do, Phil? Would you give me an award or would you send me to prison?
I'd send you to prison. I'd send you to a mental institution.
Boy, you don't get it at all.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not an advocate of beating any children to death. That's not where I'm coming from at all. I'm simply saying you said you understood.
Wait, you said you understood what I was saying.
I'm not an advocate of beating any children to death. I'm not an advocate. That's not what this conversation was about. It's about Susan G.
Well, but, sir, you said that I had my choice.
It's a microcosm of society today. There's a camp of conservatives that think that their way is the only way, and they should impart their way upon all of us. And there are those of us who say, I will keep my way in my household, you keep your way in your household, and you make the decisions that are best for you. And that's what it's come down to.
I'm a little confused because I thought this gentleman supported my right to choose.
I don't think he's saying he supports your right to choose beating a child to death.
Well, he did say it was my decision, and he's now changing his tune, so I don't know where he stands.
It is your decision, but you have to pay the consequences for your actions also. And obviously, consequences are going to be very favorable to you for beating a child.
And what about Planned Parenthood? What about Planned Parenthood? Where do they...
Planned Parenthood is not going to figure in that equation, I don't think. Sir, thank you very much for your call. Thank you, Lou. I appreciate that. 877-876-PHIL. How does Planned Parenthood figure in that?
This gentleman that I was talking to, Lou, said that it is my decision. If the birth of these two children was so consequential and was so injurious that I had to at some point, not because it was legal or because I was sane, but because I had to beat him to death. And he said that that was my decision. Now he's going back on that.
No, he's not saying that you have a right to it. He said that's going to be a decision. You got to live with those consequences. That's what he's saying. And I think that and what you said when you said that, if Planned Parenthood wasn't there, then those children are born. And then what happens if I have to beat them to death? That's what you said. Who goes to Planned Parenthood? Who goes to Susan G. Komen and says, look what you did. Look what you caused me to do. That's ridiculous. 877-876-PHIL. Good Lord. Don Mixa with us. He is a professor of engineering at the University of Washington. He's also with the faculty and student Progressive Alliance. He also has a book coming out. And according to him, his life is doing really, really well. And thank God Planned Parenthood is back up and running with that Susan G. Komen money, because without it, why, his two girlfriends couldn't have gotten abortions. And he'd be out there raising two kids instead of out on his book tour. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We have Don Mixa with us. Next hour is our news and information hour. After the show tonight, if you're a backstage pass holder, join us on Phil TV and HD. We will remain on the web feed and do a Q&A. We'll do a question and answer with our many BSPs, Phil fans, and, general and sundry flotsam and jetsam. Right now we have with us Don Mixa from the University of Washington. And Don, I've heard a lot of comments pro and con when it comes to the abortion issue. I've never heard a man say that if, because of the stress and the strain of having two children...
Hold on, Phil, because you didn't hear me properly.
Well, yeah, well, hold on. Tell me if I didn't... If I didn't hear this, you tell me. The stress and the strain of having two children by your two girlfriends... If you beat those kids to death, Susan G. Komen's got to answer for it.
I am saying that if I was emotionally distraught enough to do something like that, then at some point, yes, after I was psychoanalyzed and after I was deemed unfit to stand trial or fit to stand, whichever, even if I was acquitted, at some point you've got to bring Susan G. Komen into the mix and say, Does Don Mixa beat these kids and throw them out of a car at a high rate of speed? And Susan G. Komen does not answer for it. Does Don Mixa hide the bodies of these children in a forest? And Susan G. Komen does not answer for it. Does Don Mixa cut open the interior of a sofa and stuff the kids' bodies in there? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, what I'm getting here is, boy, you know all kinds of ways of disposing bodies, don't you?
You know what I'd ask you to do, Phil, is grow up and listen to me. And
hiding in a forest, throwing them out of a car, and it's all Susan G. Komen.
No, I didn't say that. I said, what part of that does Susan G. Komen answer for? Would you please, in the name of God, and no matter what religion you are adherent to, Phil... In the name of God, we can agree on God, can't we?
All right,
please. In the name of God and whatever Messiah or prophet you care to attribute to that God, would you please, in the name of Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad, we go down the line, listen to me. See, it's almost like in the name of God and fill in the blank, would you please listen to me?
I'm listening.
At what point does Susan G. Komen answer for... All right, the skeletons that they found, whatever you want to put it. That's my question.
877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Henry Show. Let's get to some phone calls here. Dean, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, please. Dean is gone. Let's go to Eric. Eric, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Phil. Dan, I'm sad to say this,
yes,
but... You're right. I'm a pro-choice. It's no one else's business but your own. But when it
Absolutely.
Comes to the actual corporation that you're looking for the funding to get the pro-choice of the planned parenting, that's really up to them too. They could just pull their funding and say F it all, and then you have no right to stand there and yell at them.
You do have a right to. You do have a right to. You do have a right to expose why. You do have a right to expose why. If it's political, you have a right to expose that. Yeah, well, that's what it was, political.
And that is. It is a political standpoint because the government's pushing their nose too far into our own businesses nowadays. They need to step back and take their nose out of our business. I'm a truck driver, so I'm a renegade by choice.
Right.
I run out here every night, drive around.
Right.
It's the way it is. I move freight.
Right.
But that's my choice. I wouldn't expect you to... They have the same viewpoint because you chose a different job profession. That's the way it is.
Wait, hello?
Yeah.
No, I know you. Don, are you there?
What?
No,
what, are you sleeping?
I nodded out.
Anyway, Eric, thank you, sir. Very good call. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Al here. Al, you're on the Phil Henry Show here with Don Mixa.
Hey, how you doing, Phil?
Good, sir. Good.
Well, I'd like to ask this. I cannot believe he's a professor, and he's dating two girls at once, and he managed to get them both pregnant at the same time. That's just unbelievable to me.
Well, I can't explain the facts of life to you right now, but maybe someday your father will.
Well,
all right, so what's the point? What's the point of your call, sir? What's the point of your call, sir?
He doesn't know how girls are made. He doesn't know how you get girls pregnant. I can't tell him.
Hey, whatever, man.
And
what are you
talking about? What are you
talking about,
you idiot?
About beating your kids to death, man.
Well, then what is this thing about me getting two girls pregnant at the same time? You don't know how I did that. Did you take health in high school?
No.
Did you take biology? Did you go to high school?
No, man, that wasn't my point. I don't think you understand.
Well, then No, you didn't express it very well.
Well,
I said that I was going out with two girls at the same time. That's right. I'm not very bright. You're the guy that doesn't know how babies are made, but I'm not very bright. Anyway, I was going out with two girls, and I got them both pregnant, and they both had to have abortions. And shut up. Shut up. I'm telling you something. And they both had to have abortions. And they both had to have abortions. And then...
All right, hold on for a minute. You're both talking at the same time. I'm asking you, the guy I got on the phone here, who's this, Al? Is that your name?
Yeah.
Okay, what did you want to say, Al? What's You might not have started all that well asking how he made girls pregnant. You didn't want to ask that, did you?
Yes, he did. He doesn't know what's done.
But just to let him talk.
This guy likes to people off, man. He also likes to talk over people, so, you know, they make
We're out of time. We're out of time. Hear the music. We're out of time. Because you had to start off with a dumb thing like how are girls made pregnant. Wow.
Man, whatever.
You butchered it, man.
2 minutes and cut me off. Just like
you started off by saying, how did I make two girls pregnant? Didn't you ask that? You did.
Just like you guys
and now we're out of time.
On this show with all your fake little characters that you play over and over.
That guy asked me, how are two girls made pregnant? Didn't he?
He asked. Okay, well, now we're out of time.
Yeah. That's what I tried to tell the dumbass.